Now we're talking. And because of that, we seek after these things. Because you know what? Hunger and thirst is something that's going to happen to every human being. You can't escape that. You're going to get hungry and you're going to get thirsty. And if you got an appetite for junk food, you're going to seek it out. If I have an appetite for Taco Bell, I know where Taco Bell's at, and I'm going to seek it out. And I'm going to seek it out frequently. And so whatever your thing is, burgers or ribs or Italian or whatever it is, that weakness you got for that, or sweets or whatever it is that you got, you seek it out. Doesn't nobody come to the door, knock on the door and say, hey, with a gun to your head saying you got to eat this chocolate cake. You got an appetite for. So when you get hungry, you find yourself finding a way to seek after a way of getting what you're hungry for. Whether you recognize it or not, God also put in every human being an innate need for a relationship with himself. And just because he put that in you, you have a natural spiritual hunger and a spiritual thirst that most people never recognize as such. And so to fill that void, if you don't have an appetite for the Lord Jesus Christ, then you will seek after in your life other things to try to satisfy the hunger and the thirst you have for him that you don't know you got. Everybody's got a spiritual hunger and thirst. I don't care how, and you an atheist, you got a spiritual hunger and thirst. If you a Muslim, you got a spiritual hunger and thirst. I don't care who you are, you thirst for Jesus, you hunger for him, but your appetite, if you got an appetite for destruction, then to fill that void that's there, that God placed there, that only he can fill and satisfy, you're going to run after drugs, you'll run after alcohol, you'll run after sex, you'll run after working all the time, you'll run after whatever you got to run after, because you got to fill that void. And just like that unhealthy food that you eat, every time you get hungry, you keep going for that unhealthy thing that causes your body to be unhealthy. It's what you do to yourself spiritually. Who grew up saying, you know what, one day I'm going to be a heroin addict? Who grew up saying, one day I'm going to be addicted to porn? I just can't wait. One day I'm going to be married and divorced 3 times. Just can't wait to find that special one. Slap her upside the head, screaming, curse, holler, had the cops come and all kinds of drama and didn't have to get divorced and run around and hook up with somebody 2 weeks later to replace her. Just can't wait till I grow up and experience that. Nobody in here says I want to eat a bunch of junk food until I'm 20, 30, 40 pounds overweight and have heart conditions. Nobody in here said I want to desire all kinds of unhealthy drinks. I never drink water and it affects my health. Nobody does that. But because you got an appetite, you hungry, and your appetite for those things is what causes you to seek those things, and you keep partaking of those things, and that's what destroys your body. Likewise, you keep chasing after things that are not going to satisfy your hunger, things that would never satisfy your thirst, but you hungry, you thirsty, and you got an appetite for it. And the way it's supposed to work is that when I feel the hunger and the thirst in my soul, that I'm supposed to have an appetite for Jesus Christ. I'm supposed to have an appetite for God. I'm supposed to have an appetite for his word, appetite for praise, appetite for worship, appetite to be in his house, appetite to hear some preaching, appetite to hear some tea. I got an appetite for him. And so when I eat of him, when I eat his flesh and drink his blood, then I have health and vitality in my spirit that manifests throughout my body, that manifests throughout my family, that manifests in my life and in the community and even which I'm in, I influence for the kingdom of God. The problem with many believers is even though you got saved, you still didn't develop the right appetite. My father used to get so upset. He was perplexed by me because I was a skinny little kid and I used to like half eat everything. I'd always leave all kinds of stuff on my plate. And my father would say, boy, I just don't understand why you eat like a bug. That's how he pronounced it. Because he's from Mississippi. Boy, I just can't understand why you eat like a bird like that. You just eat like a bird. You just ain't got no appetite. I've been thinking about that when I was thinking about this message. And if you don't have an appetite, you got a little bitty appetite, it don't matter how good the food is, you just gonna barely eat it. What's that operation you get where they staple your stomach? I think some Christians got that spiritually. I think if we could see ourselves spiritually, that it would just be some scrawny, sickly, daggone Christian. Because it's like you got just a little bit of capacity for anything of God. And a big, giant appetite for the world. But that's what's destroying our lives. It's not everything that's coming out here after you. It's what you're seeking after. And so the Bible says to us that God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. That the seeking after is the result of the appetite. You seek after what you're hungry for. You seek out the things that you get. You used to seek out the club. Some of you still seek out the club. Because of the spiritual void in your life, you keep running to the same well, and the well does not satisfy you, but you don't recognize that the thirst and the hunger is from God because He wants you to seek Him. When you go around America, anywhere in America, just about, you can see when it comes to food what we're seeking after. Because you got fast food restaurants everywhere. I think it's a there's going to be a McDonald's in hell, I think. It's a McDonald's everywhere. The burger's going to be burnt, but still, it's going to be a McDonald's in hell. Because everywhere you go, you're going to find yourself a McDonald's somewhere. Why? Because we have an appetite for it, and the world knows it. So people who want to make money set up shop to give you what you're seeking after. We create then our own environments based on our own appetite. And so all I got to do is all you got to do is just look around your life and you'll figure out what you seek after. You figure out what you have an appetite for. If you don't have any books having nothing to do with God, and if you can't find your Bible till Sunday, and if you don't have any CDs, DVDs, if you ain't never watching a Christian TV, something with a preacher on it someplace, if you can't barely get into the house of God, all of these things are just evidence you don't have an appetite for divine things. You don't have an appetite for the kingdom of God. So you keep seeking after the wrong things. And as Dr. Field says, how's that working for you? But till you change that appetite, you could be sitting somewhere knowing, I just don't want to do this no more. But as soon as the hunger pain hits, you're going to seek after what you're hungry for. And so what the enemy wants more than anything is to whet your appetite with the world system. He wants to continue to get you to chasing after money. He wants to get you chasing after greed and jealousy and chasing after illicit relationships and chasing after all of the things that he knows will bring weakness to you spiritually and thusly bring weakness to the body of Christ. Now, if I was in a war, you know that when I was in the military, we would have these exercises. And some of the exercises was to show you that the enemy could contaminate your food. And if he contaminated your food, he's got you. If the food and water is contaminated, then everybody's half sick, then any enemy can conquer you. Well, I believe that the enemy's trying to get you to eat and drink contaminated things, poison things, ungodly things, demonically inspired things. So as you feed on it and feed on it and feed on it, that purpose that God has on the inside of you that God could use to bring destruction to Satan's kingdom is not being utilized because you are constantly partaking of poisonous food. And And what we've got to learn to do is develop it. I've got to develop an appetite for the things of God so I can seek after Him. Let's look at Psalm 42. Psalm 42, verse 1. Somebody say amen, just so I know you're in here. I get lonely up here sometimes. Psalm 42, verse 1 says, "As the deer pants for the water brooks, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, the living God. When shall I come and appear before God?" That's actually translated, "Where can I go and see His face?" Now, we're going to let this Old Testament, Old Covenant, under the law of Moses, king, long for God more than us? Has anybody in here ever felt like this, that you were panting after God? If you had, then you don't have an appetite. You don't have to feel bad about it. You just have to seek God and say, "God, change my appetite." Because there are times when you recognize that nothing else or no one else will satisfy me. That another relationship isn't going to satisfy me. That more money is not going to be enough to satisfy me. That a bigger house with a deck is not enough to satisfy me. With a better car with better rims is not enough to satisfy me. Finally getting to do what I think I always dreamed of doing is not enough to satisfy me. All of these things can be a blessing to me, but if God isn't my number one source, if He isn't my living water, if He isn't my bread of life, if He isn't my everything, my all in all, my rock in the wilderness, if He is not that for me, then nothing will be enough for me. And you wind up 50, 60 years old before it dawns on you, I've been chasing after the wrong thing. But David said that like a deer pants after the water brook, that he was like a deer that's longing to have a drink, that's desperate to drink of the water brook. He says, "So my soul longs for you. So my soul thirsts for you. My inner man longs for the word of God, longs for praise and worship, to be in His presence, to be around His people, to be in His house." There has to be a longing that takes place, because me offering you coffee on Sunday is not going to do it. That a move of God in the city is going to be the result of people who want Jesus, who want to come to Him in thirst, who are hungry for Him, who need Him, who want Him. And wherever Jesus finds people hungry, He always feeds them, even if it's a few fish and a few loaves, and He got to feed thousands. He said, "I don't want these people to have to go nowhere because they're hungry. So what do you got? Give it to me. I'm going to bless it, and I'm going to make sure you got more than enough to eat." Even when the children of Israel were in the wilderness, and it was estimated 3 million people, some scholars say, and they were trying to find something to drink and had nothing to drink, and they're in the middle of a desert with nothing to drink, and God says to Moses, "Strike the rock." In the book of Hebrews, we teach you that Jesus is the rock in the wilderness. So it's a picture, a shadow, a type of a Christ in the wilderness, showing you that wherever there people are, no matter how many people there are, if you strike the rock, then the rock will let the living water gush out and satisfy what you're thirsty for. You go in and out of these relationships because you're thirsty. That's why I said there's no point barking at people about stop your drinking and stop that fornicating and stop that. You should stop all that, but you know what? You ain't going to stop it till you figure out what the appetite is that you have for it, because you're going to keep running to it, because people do what they do for a reason. Ain't too many people running around scratching their head going, I wonder if what I just cursing everybody out on the job, being bitter and nasty is wrong. I wonder if that's wrong. You know in your own spirit is wrong, but something on the inside of you is hungry and thirsty that's not being satisfied. So you got this bitter well where you're just angry and bitter and unforgiving and it just keeps spewing out of you. But Jesus said when you come to Him and drink, He says it'll be like rivers of living water flowing from your inner man. Why? Because what you take in and what you partake of flows out of you. And for us to have the love of God and the power of God and the glory of God, it's all in here. But what's damming it up is that we are not feeding on Christ. If you've never had that feeling, I mean, there used to be a time when I had no appetite for God. Last thing I was thinking about was God, unless I got in real big trouble. And then maybe I'd give Him a thought after I tried several other things to get out of the trouble. And then you go, well, I guess I better pray now. Well, I guess you should. And so I had an appetite for destruction, like Guns N' Roses. I had an appetite for destruction. Welcome to the jungle. Y'all never heard that actual roll? An appetite for destruction, because the enemy wants to kill, steal, and destroy. So if he can give you an appetite and a thirst for the things that will destroy you, how do you think he does that? Do you think he just bum rush you and put you in a headlock? When he was in the garden, the serpent was in the garden, he was trying to get them to get an appetite for what God told them not to eat. And just like us, if we could recognize just how much goodness there is for us to partake of in God, they had a whole garden filled with all kinds of fruits and vegetables and wonderful. I can't imagine what the peaches and the mangoes and all of that tastes like in the Garden of Eden. It had to be absolutely mind-boggling delicious. The one tree in the midst of the garden, the knowledge of good and evil, God said, now don't eat of that tree, because when you eat of that tree, you shall surely die. He didn't say, I'm going to kill you. He said, when you eat of it, you shall surely die. It's going to be the result of you choosing to go partake of what I told you not to partake of that will result in your demise. I'm not going to kill you. I love you. I'm here for you. I've given you all the stuff you can have. But somewhere down the line, they start getting this appetite for that one tree that was in the middle of the garden. What was it that you found? I often wonder what caused them, out of all of the good stuff they could have, to start gravitating towards that one tree. Do you know the tree of life was in the garden? And if you eat of the tree of life, you live forever. They didn't want that. He wanted the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And when they ate of that tree, they spiritually died immediately. And the long-term result was years and years later, they started to die physically. And the book of Genesis says over and over, and they died, and they died, and he died, and he was X amount of old, all the old, he died. Trying to show you that when God tells, see, I don't have to scream at you about sin, but when you go out and partake in all of it, you are setting yourself up for the consequence. God loves us. He's not trying to hinder and restrict you from anything. He's trying to protect you from. Like prison walls are there to restrict the inmates from being there. But a gated community, the wall is up there to protect those who are behind the wall. Well, God sets up principles and commandments and good things and He shows us what's right and what's wrong, showing you that in this fallen world, as long as the enemy is active, that you got to understand that he's trying to devour you, and the way he does it is lies to you, sets you up, and tries to get you to seek after the very things that would destroy yourself. When I know victims hate that. I'd be fine if everybody hurt me. Everybody hurt. No, some of the stuff was your own decision. It was your own decision. My appetite. We want to get an appetite. Let's look at John 6. Are y'all hearing me? John 6, verse 35. John 6, 35 says, "And Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst." Let's go to verse 53. "Then Jesus said to them, most assuredly I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is food indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so he who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread which came down from heaven. Not as your fathers ate the manna and are dead. He who eats this bread will live forever." Go to Exodus 16. Exodus 16, starting at verse 15. The Word of God says, "So when the children of Israel saw it, they said to one another, 'What is it?' For they did not know what it was." Manna in Hebrew means "what is it?" "And Moses said to them, 'This is the bread which the Lord has given you to eat. This is the thing which the Lord has commanded. Let every man gather it according to each one's need, one omer for each person according to the number of persons. Let every man take for those who are in his tent.' Then the children of Israel did so and gathered some more, some less. Some when they measured it by omers, he who gathered much had nothing left over, and he who gathered little had no lack. Every man had gathered according to each one's need. And Moses said, 'Let no one leave any until the morning.' Notwithstanding, they did not heed Moses, but some of them left part of it until morning, and it bred worms and stank. And Moses was angry with them, so they gathered it every morning, every man according to his need. And when the sun became hot, it melted." Jesus, this is a picture of Christ. You have to understand that in the Old Testament, the New Testament is contained. In the New Testament, the Old Testament is explained. So you see all kinds of pictures of Jesus Christ in the Old Testament, that what you saw naturally is a spiritual reality that we can gain from. So when Jesus is trying to tell them that the natural manna that came from heaven, your fathers ate that and they died, but I am the bread that comes down from heaven to give life. Jesus himself is the only, we were dying dead more than just dying naturally. We were dead spiritually, but the bread of life came from heaven to give us eternal life and life more abundantly right now. So Every morning for 6 days a week, because on the seventh day was the Sabbath, they were supposed to rest. So on the sixth day, they had to gather up twice the manna and to eat that on the Sabbath. This stuff's raining down from heaven. They don't even know what is it. But it's what God's going to give them to sustain them. Now, if they don't come up out that tent and go get that manna, at some point the sun going to come up and it's going to melt. And if they tried to gather up a whole bunch of manna on Monday, put some in the freezer so it'll last till Thursday, that was just going to rot. Because you were only supposed to go out and gather just enough manna for that day. I think it was Jesus who told his disciples to ask for our daily bread. Give us this day our daily bread, which means then that God has daily sustenance for you and I every day. But if you sit up in your tent and don't gather it up, and it melt out in the hot sun, whose fault is that? God ain't going to put no IV in your arm now trying to give you the living water and the bread of life. He's saying that it's available every day. God's got a word for you in that day. And if you don't go into this field and search out your word, let the Holy Spirit guide you to what has been supplied for you on that day and gather it up for that day, then you malnourished. I'll tell you to read the Bible to make you feel bad because you don't read it. This is our food. You cannot partake of Christ without partaking of His Word because Jesus is the Word. So obviously the enemy would do whatever he can to try to discourage you from ever reading the Bible. Because all of those dilemmas and issues and hang-ups and questions you got, you just might end up in a psalm or a proverb or the book of James or wherever you at and have the Holy Spirit enlighten that thing and show you the answer to your issue. He don't want you to find that out. This is filled with truth and He wants you to keep believing the lie because the lie keeps you in bondage, but the truth sets you free and He doesn't want you to know the truth. And so until if you don't have an appetite that causes you to seek after it, if there ain't something on the inside of you as a believer that says, I got to have this word, I've got to have His presence. Just look around you. Do you have any praise and worship music? Is that part of your life? You've got to understand that when just coming here on Sunday is not enough to nourish you. We gather here as a corporate body of believers to praise and to worship God and to hear the Word of God and to fellowship and to encourage one another and bless one another. But this is just where we're supposed to go to sometimes rest up. And encourage and strengthen and go back out this door and go to war.
I didn't know it was a war.
Oh yeah. If you were in Iraq and you didn't put on your body armor and your helmet and all the rest of it and just walked around talking about it, I don't believe it's a war. That ain't going to change the fact that you're going to get popped at some point in time by an Iraqi soldier. So you walk, that's why the Bible says be sober and vigilant because you have an adversary. Pay attention. Look around you. Make some sense. If you don't spend any time with God, you don't have any discernment. You don't have any anointing. You don't have any spiritual strength or vitality. And so God is raining down manna for you each day. Are you hearing me? And if you don't gather up your manna, it just spoils. And so I wonder, how many words has God spoken? How many prayers have you prayed that God is raining down the answer? He's trying to get the answer to you. But God wants to be sought after. Ladies, don't you want your husband to seek after you? Or do you always want to beg him to pay attention to you? Beg him to sit next to you on the couch? Beg him to go somewhere with you? Beg him to take a walk in the park? You know, you want him to seek after you. You want him to come after you. You want him to come give you a hug. You want him to come give you a kiss. You want him to come give you a compliment. Well, God is like that. God is not hiding himself from us. But he wants us to seek after him, to partake of him on a continual basis so that he can strengthen and feed us and use us for his purpose. He loves us. He's your dad, the creator of all the universe, is my dad. Is that amazing to anybody but me? That the creator of all the universe is my dad. You know, the president Not necessarily this one, because like I said, when President Bush is president, you say something about the president and everybody that don't like President Bush get all knotted up in their soul and can't receive what you can really say. It's all you don't like President Obama, you're going to get all knotted up. The office of presidency. How about that? Can't tell you that it don't matter whether who you like in office or not. If they're there, you're supposed to submit to them and be honorable toward them and respectful toward them as a believer. Anyway, I don't know. We'll talk about it when the Republicans get back in office and we'll go from there. But the president of the United States, you can't just show up and say, Barack, yo, Barack, yo, man, Barack, dude, yo, man, I've been watching TV saying you got some problem with the economy, man. Let me talk with you, dog. I know the answer. But they will have you face down somewhere. Dudes that you thought was just doing gardening out at the White House all of a sudden will pull out weapons and come up and throw your behind in a headlock somewhere talking about who you think you're talking to, what you were, and patting you down. You can't just roll up on him. He's the president. He's the leader of the free world. Now, what makes you think that even if you're not a Christian, you're not saved, you don't have Jesus, you can just roll up on God? You got to be invited. And the pathway has to be made for you. So if I was to somehow have an appointment with the president, even still I'd be sitting there going, Mr. President, and still all tense and only have a few minutes. But remember those pictures that John F. Kennedy used to have where Jackie went out of town because she didn't like for her kids to be on display like that? But then you see those pictures in the Oval Office, and in the Oval Office you see his kids running all in the Oval Office and playing under the desk and all that. Now, this is the president of the United States of America. And if the average American tried to walk up in the Oval, you couldn't even get in the door, more or less. You couldn't get in the lawn, more or less the Oval Office. But this great, powerful, incredible man says, you know what, when his kids come here, they ain't need no appointment. They running all through the desk and rolling all on the carpet and playing with it. And they not saying, Mr. President, Mr. President. They calling them daddy. That's what God's like for us. That he always has time for his children. He's always got time to listen. And so every day he's got nourishment for you. Every day he has something for you. Every day he wants to speak to you. Every day he wants to connect with you. Every day he wants to commune with you. Every day he wants to be with you. He's not just sitting there waiting to whack you. He's not waiting on you to show up so he can go through the whole litany of things that's messed up about you. He loves you. He can't wait to see you. He's excited about us coming together and giving him praise and worship. He wants to move on your heart. He wants to set his children free. He wants to be a blessing to us. And if we keep seeing him as this mean, ugly, nasty God that you hiding in the trees with a fig leaf on, he is not that. He's your daddy. Say, God's my daddy. That's what Abba means, daddy. That I could call him Abba Father because of Jesus Christ. Not because of my behavior. Not because of what I've done or not done. But because of what Jesus Christ did on the cross. Because I put faith in his blood. Because I put faith in his perfection. Because I put faith in the fact he fulfilled the law. Now I can run up in the Oval Office and roll around on the carpet and go up under the desk and say, hey, daddy, when everybody, even though he's got all the power of the universe. And that powerful God we don't want to spend time with. You got to develop an appetite, saints of God. This ain't no deep message. You got to get with God and say, God, change my appetite. Change my appetite. Let me show you the trick of the enemy. What's been going on, God showed me. Go to Psalm 34. Psalm 34. starting at verse 8. Psalm 34, verse 8. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Say amen. Blessed is the man who trusts in Him. Oh, fear the Lord, you His saints. There is no want to those who fear Him. The young lions lack and suffer hunger, but those who what? Those who what? Seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. When you taste and see that the Lord is good, you seek. When you, anybody like ice cream? When you go to a place and you taste how good a certain kind of ice cream is anybody going to have to beg you to come back and get some more? No, they're not. Because you tasted it and you saw that it was good. And as a result of that, you want to partake of it all the time because it is good. Taste and see that the Lord is good, and He's saying that you will lack no good thing because you seek Him. He wants to be sought after. That's what I'm trying to tell you. He wants you to long for Him. He wants you to have passion for Him. He doesn't want us to just be going through some religious motion and coming in doing a bunch of ritualistic nonsense and having business meetings and fighting with and backbiting and splitting churches. And that is not God. And the reason so many people come in the doors of our churches and go right back out into the streets is because they never have any living bread in the atmosphere. Because we're supposed to be able to partake of the living water, and it's not here, because all that is here is a bunch of nonsense. We are the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when the Bible says that we are supposed to eat His flesh and drink His blood, the world is supposed to be able to come to the body and find life. When people come to this church, are they finding life, or are they just finding a bunch of dead people sitting in a pew? And if you're dead in the pew, wouldn't matter if we had chairs, wouldn't matter if we went to another building. It don't matter what building we're in. A building is a building is a building. But we're the church. We're what God cares about. Understand? Sometimes I hear people and it sounds like y'all think this is you know, Puff the Magic building. So the Puff the Magic Dragon, which is about weed, I'm sorry. Puff the Magic building. Which still makes my point. Because it's like we don't have any relationship with God outside of here. We ain't hearing Him. We ain't singing to Him. We ain't hearing any. We ain't in His Word. He's just not a reality to us. And then we drag into the Puff the Magic building. It's just something incredible about that building. God is in this place. God's in you. And for God to be in this place is for the God in us to come up out of us when we give Him glory and give Him praise, because the Holy Spirit came to give glory to the Son. You know what, sir? I'm going to take the pressure off. I've been taking the pressure off myself Sunday because God's been telling me for months, son, just go feed the hungry. Just go feed the hungry. Because it's a two-way street is what I'm telling you. That when Jesus fed the 5,000, they were hungry. So it was like, how are we supposed to feed these people? Which is what I asked God. Well, how am I supposed to know what to say to these people? And He said, what do you have? What little bit of revelation do you have? What little bit of the Bible do you know? What little bit of experience of God do you have? And then He said, okay, give that to me. I'm going to bless it, and then I'm going to give it back to you. And everybody that's hungry going to eat, and it's going to be 12 baskets of leftovers for you to partake of all week. It's a two-way street. So sometimes we saying, I'm not being fed, and that's true. Sometimes the guy up here ain't feeding. But you know, sometimes you ain't getting fed because you ain't hungry. Since you ain't hungry, God ain't supplying the food. You can't feed somebody that ain't want to eat. And if you think you've been satisfied all week on the world system, then you come in here, then that ain't, you don't have no room. I just don't have no room for that. I'm good. I'm full. I just have a little biscuit. You want me to come up here and preach a little biscuit message? A little 10-minute biscuit. Here's a little 10-minute biscuit for you. little 10-minute biscuit. Then everybody can just go home. Woo, that was a good word. That wasn't no good word. It was a 10-minute biscuit. God be giving me a 7-course meal. Sometimes I don't put it all on the table because you can't handle it. You can't eat it all. I preach up here for 8 hours. You should see the fear on some of your faces. Y'all trying to figure out where to exit. That's the quickest way I can sneak out of this mouth. When Jesus fed 5,000, it said that they was with him for 3 days. What? Now, I don't even think I'd do that. And I'm a preacher. And see, for 3 days they was following Jesus around because they were just wanting his word. They just wanted to hear his teaching and his preaching and experience the kingdom of God. They were hungry. They were hungry. And the picture it was that what Jesus fed them, it was to show us that's the key. That's the key to whatever you want to call it, revival, a move of the spirit, whatever you call it. For God showing up and showing out and being strong and being powerful and doing these amazing things and transforming the city is the result of a people who are so hungry for Jesus that he can't help. He's like, you know what? It's some people in Piqua. I got to feed them. I got to feed them. They're hungry. They're thirsty. But he ain't going to be groveling around you. Please, please, can I come to your church? Please. Please, can you listen to the word of God? There's some hungry people. And I'm telling you, there are women, Samaritan women at the well outside of this door. There are people out there who, when they find out that the drugs that they've been taking is because they haven't recognized there's a living well, when they find out the relationships they're in is just their need for Jesus, when they recognize that the drugs, the alcohol, when they recognize that all the things they've been chasing after is a lie of the enemy, and they find out that Jesus is the bread of life, that Jesus is the living water, and they find out there's a place that got plenty of bread and plenty of water, you're going to see people rush through this door like crazed animals in need of food. I know what I know, because it's going to be people in the church that have no hunger, and you're going to find out people who are going to bypass you in the kingdom of God that don't have know nothing about Jesus in a relatively short amount of time because they crave pure spiritual milk, the word of God, and grew thereby. They're going to be in leadership, and you're going to be all pouted up and mad and angry about why they get to do. It's because they found out it's the living well. They dropped their water pot, and they ran out in the city and want to tell everybody, I found the Messiah. I found the Christ. I found the answer. Gone are the days where people going to have to do cartwheels and flips and games and toys and cotton candy and popcorn to try to get people to pay attention. The day is going to come and is now where there are people that Jesus, the real Jesus, is the Jesus that went out and talked to the thief and the prostitute and the tax collector. That Jesus is raising up men and women of God, boys and girls of God that are going to be in their schools, that are going to be in their neighborhood, that's going to be on their jobs, and they're going to see, you got something that I want. Oh, my goodness, you got a little carried away, Heather. It just hits me. I don't know. It just hits me. Old school preachers say, I feel my help coming on. I feel my help coming on. Look at verse 17, though, of the same song. The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. The Lord is near to those who have a broken heart, and save such as have a contrite spirit. Many, say many, are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. He guards all his bones, not one of them is broken. We have been through a season in the body of Christ of a season of affliction. And some of you have tasted and saw that the Lord was good. And you started seeking Him because of His goodness. You tasted of His goodness. You were passionate about God. You couldn't wait to get in the house of God. You couldn't wait to get in the Word of God. You was watching TBN or any something where you could see a man or woman of God preaching the Word. You'd order stuff off of the internet about God. You was all, it, your house would be filled with praise and worship kind of music. You were hungry for God. But then when the season of affliction came, have you ever said, you've been hungry and then you saw something repulsive and then you went, or saw it, smelled it, or tasted it, and you went, oh, I just lost my appetite. Some of you are repulsed by the things you've been through in this season. And you lost your appetite. Because many are the afflictions of the righteous. But what you forgot is that the Lord would deliver them from them all. And before you got to the time of deliverance, you lost your appetite and started developing an appetite for the world again. But how's that working for you? And it's a lie. It's a setup. It's the enemy. And it's a season that God has allowed us to go through to show us, I want you to know who I am. I want you to understand that when things look bad, I'm still good. I want you to understand when it seems like you're not loved, I still love you. I want you to understand when it seems like you're broke, you're still blessed. I want you to get it so deep down on the inside of you that no matter what the enemy does to attack you, you're so grounded in my word that you still confess my word, praise my name, worship me, and lay down before me because you know who I am. You know who I am. I feel my help coming on. This, we have to get to a place where we know who God is and nothing can move us from our revelation. Oh, I used to love God, but then something happened to my grandmama. Oh, I used to love God and I kept tithing and giving, but I'm still broke. Oh, I used to love God. You need a revelation. You need to understand that the proof that God is love is not in your bank account right now. It was the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. And He loved you so much, He sent His only Son to die for you. It's just a matter of time where you'll see it in your bank account. There are some of you with no appetite looking at me like, good, can you stop now? I'm full. I can't eat no more. Well, I still got left to feed some hungry people up in here, and I'm going to keep feeding them. Because what I'm trying to get you to understand is you've been lied to. He tricked you. He scammed you. And so now all the, you know, when the Bible talks about a dog returning to his vomit, I've done that a few times. It means you ate something bad, threw it up, and not having enough sense to know it's just some vomit, you go right back to the same old thing you threw up. So in this season, the enemy's trying to get you to go back to the things you already threw up. You already knew that the drugs weren't going to lead you nowhere. You already know getting drunk and partying didn't lead nowhere. You already knew that the relationships, hopping in bed with everybody from the club, wasn't going to get you nowhere. But in the time of affliction, you started to doubt the goodness of God, and He has caused you to run back to the same things you used to eat that made you sick in the first place. God is good. Say, God is good. Don't matter what you're dealing with. It don't matter what you're going through. God is, you got to settle some things. This ain't never been about sight. It's about faith. You got to settle some things about God and who you are in Him. I am who God says that I am, no matter what it looks like. I'm not waiting to be blessed. I'm already blessed. I'm not waiting to be healed. I'm already healed. I'm not waiting. I've already got everything He said I can have because I'm His child. I'm waiting when God shows me. I just think God's some mean, angry God. You can go back and look at all the wonderful things God has done for you. You better get some thanksgiving and praise stirred up in your spirit somewhere. I ain't done yet. I got something else. Now I'm going to have mercy on you and skip this one part I had about seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. I think I'm going to skip it. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things should be added unto you. What God wants to be is sought after. God wants to be priority number one. God, who wants to be somebody's plan B or leftover? I was watching this show on BET called Girlfriends. Y'all ever seen? You ever seen? I know you seen it, D. I know you like you some BET. And there was this woman that Diana Ross' daughter, and she started hooking up with this guy, and the guy kind of dorky and whatnot, and then she realized that she wanted to be with the guy. And then she started telling the guy, you know, I realized, and she's going down the list of stuff that's wrong with him, and then she says, but, you know, I realized none of that matters, the good looks and all of the money, and this and that. I want to be with you. And then he says, so I'm the one you're settling for? And she said, well, yeah. You know what dude did? He went to the door, opened the door and said, I'm going to wait till I find the woman who wants me for me. God wants you to want Him for Him. And so sometimes you go through difficult times because I want you to want me not just because I paid your bills. I want you to want me not just because I healed your body. I want you to want me not just because I did a bunch of good stuff for you. I want you to want me just because I'm me. Seek first, Jesus said, the kingdom of God and His righteousness. He said that all of the Gentiles or sinners or people that don't know me are all running after food and clothes and jobs and money and this and that. And He said, don't be like them. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. He said, your heavenly Father knows that you need these things. God holds the purse strings, not your factory job. Or I guess in this economy, you found that out. Which you know tithe and self. You found out then that we're in that factory situation, that everything ain't provision, ain't just from that factory of the United States government. God holds the purse strings for the entire universe. So if I seek Him first, He'll add the stuff that everybody else is chasing after. I'm going to quit soon for all you folks who ain't got no appetite. You stick around here long enough, you're going to get an appetite for Jesus. Don't ever lose your appetite. Mm-hmm. Feel like when I go over to the elders' crib, and you hang out, they got all kinds of, they got CDs all over the place by preachers, and they can be telling you what they heard and what they read in the Word and what God said in prayer, and that's what I like to hear, because I said, it sounds like somebody up in here got an appetite, like somebody kind of wants Jesus. And so you might call us Jesus freaks or fanatics, we just hungry. This one for you, before you fall asleep. Oh, He got to talk to us? Yes. Luke chapter 15. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Don't be trying to sneak out, y'all. I know. No, it ain't just for the youth. I got this last word here. Luke 15, verse 11. Then He said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of the goods that falls to me. So he divided to them his livelihood, and not so many days after, the young son gathered together, all together, journeyed to a far country. Underline that or something. And there wasted his possessions with prodigal living. But when he had spent all, there arose a severe famine in the land, and he began to be in want. This kid is in the father's house. And the father is just ridiculously loaded and rich. So there ain't no lack of food or any other good thing in the Father's house, which represents the kingdom of God, not just some building. But this boy somewhere down the line lost his appetite for what was in his daddy's house and started to develop an appetite for destruction for things that were in a far country. Say a far country. A far country represents the world system, all that the world has to offer. And in John 2:16, the Bible says that all that is in the world is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Any sin that you could think of is wrapped up in one of them or a combination of three. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. It's the same things he came at Jesus with, he comes at us with. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. So this boy thought it was something good out there in the far country. Because he's born in his daddy's house. He's raised up in his daddy's house. So he didn't appreciate his daddy's house. He had to go out. Why is it that so many youth they raised up in the children's department, in somebody's youth group, and had a piece of popcorn and cotton candy with King's Island and all the nine, and as soon as they get a chance to be old enough, they test to God without knowing that's what you're saying. All my talent, give me all my gifts, give me all my anointing, give me all my intellect, give me all the stuff you gave me that was going to bring increase to your kingdom, give it to me, I'm out of here. I mean, people are running to, I used to go to church when I was a kid. Life is broke down as something, whatever's broke. Because it had to go out into the far country and find something to eat. And so the Bible says he was living large. That's what prodigal means, extravagant, excessive. He was living large. He was the man. He was buying all kinds of prostitutes and partying and going to the club, giving everybody round, it's all on me. Whatever you're tasting, it's on me, dog. He was the life of the party. He was it. He was in the far country. But then the land had a famine. And what used to satisfy the boy, now he's starving. A famine will always precipitate an epiphany. So this boy, as long as he's feeling satisfied in the world system, he ain't coming back home. Now, just so you know, it ain't just the youth. You could be sitting in the house of God all the time. Coming to church, maybe even involved in ministry work. Maybe even involved in here faithfully. And do you know you could be in a far country? Like, no, I'm at church and I'm faithful in the house of God and I say all my prayers and Hail Marys and whatnot. But the Bible says in Isaiah that there will be a people who with their mouth draw near to me and with their lips praise me, but their heart is far from me. So you could be sitting here with your lips praising God and with your mouth acting like you're drawing near to Him, but in your heart you're back in the world. Because you still think that there's something out there that's going to satisfy this need that I got. Now look, this famine hits. And in verse 15 it says, then he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he went into his fields to feed swine. And he would have gladly filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, which means he came to his senses, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have bread? Now, some of your translations say food. This New King James says bread. How many of my servants have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? He realized that the bread of life that he used to partake of is still in his father's house. And so now that the famine hit, now that the fun's over, now that you're broke, now that nothing's working out, now that your relationships are falling apart, now that you realize that there's a famine and there's nothing in this world system, I'm famished, I'm starving, where do I go? But it's hunger. And then the Bible says, he came to his senses. Until you have a famine in your land, you're going to never come to your senses. And some of you youth under the sound of my voice going to take off. But I assure you of this, there will be a famine in your land, and I hope it's sooner than later, and you're going to come back to your daddy's house. And you're going to realize that the God of your parents is going to become your God, that the Jesus that was good to your daddy is now good to you. You're going to realize why your mama prayed and why your grandmama prayed. You're going to realize why they was in the house of God and why they made you come to church. When you find out ain't nothing in this world but famine. So he goes back home and realizes even the servants in my house got more than enough bread. And you know the story. He makes his way back home. And the father see him a long way off, ran after him, hugged him, kissed him on his neck, and treated him like a son, because he was a son when he was at home, and he was a son when he was in the world, and he was a son when he came back. All the stuff we say, that's proof that you can lose your salvation. See, he was dead and he's alive again. If one of your kids took off and you ain't seen them for years and they left you and you was worrying about what's going on with them or how things going, you worried about where they at, what you going to be doing? In the house chilling? No, you're going to be out there like that father going, this is the day they're going to come back home. And when you've seen them, you're just going to go, okay, now you want to come home. No, you're going to run out there. You don't care whether they've been in prison. You don't care what they've been up to. You don't care whether they high when they came back. You're just going to hug them and tell them, I'm so glad that you came home to me. I'm so glad you realized that this is where your love is. So what do you think God's doing? Not just to people who ain't here right now, out in the streets doing what they're doing. I'm talking to people right here where your heart is far away. Because you went through a season of affliction and you started to doubt if God was good. Well, I'm here to tell you God's good. I'm here to tell you that no matter what you deal with or you're going through, God is good. No matter how many disappointments you face, God is good. No matter how many promises that it looked like that God hasn't come through on, God is good. And I'm telling you, with all that is in me, if you hold on, keep believing, just keep loving, just keep walking, just be at peace about who you are in Christ, that at some point in time you're going to find out that you're going to find something like you ever feel like somebody's behind you. You're going to feel like somebody's following you. And you're going to look around and you're going to get bum-rushed by the blessings and the goodness of God. Your finances going to be blessed. Your children going to be blessed. You're going to start seeing your destiny be revealed, because he the whole time was chasing after you. Let's stand up. Y'all didn't get my sign language, I guess. Trying to be cool, didn't work out. Taste and see that the Lord is good. He is. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord will deliver them out of them all. It's time for us to grow up. That's what I'm saying. That when my daughter was like a baby, we had to feed her, burp her, and change her. A lot. I used to call her the boo-boo machine. We used to do this dance. Boo-boo, boo-boo, boo-boo machine. Work it down, boo-boo machine. Anyhow. And we used to feed her and clothe her and take care of her and all of that. And then we got to this place when she was old enough to go in the refrigerator and get some food. So she's 17 now, so sometimes she come in the house and go, I'm hungry, I ain't got nothing to eat. I'm hungry, I ain't got nothing to eat. And we say the same thing every time. Go in there and find something to eat. In other words, if you're hungry, you mature enough to go seek after satisfaction. Now, I'm the daddy, so I'm going to make sure that you got food in the house. But I ain't going to feed it to you. I'm going to tell you there's plenty in here. Just go get it. That other son that stayed in the house, set up in the house with an attitude. Going, all these years I have served you. Done everything you've ever commanded me to do. You ever done that? I give my tithe, I give my offering, I come in church every Sunday, and I'm always praying, and I'm always blah, blah, blah. And then this son of yours, not my brother, this son of yours come home after laying up in the bed with holes and spending up all your money, and you go kill the fatted calf and have a party. That felt like that before. You have to, I guarantee you, sat somewhere. I'm going to show you how you did it. You was like, you went through the season of affliction. I give all my tithe, I give my offering, and then I even give extra offerings. And then you tell me if I sold a 300 seed, and then a preacher on TV said, if you get a $1,000 seed, all the world's going to just bless you, and I ain't blessed yet. And then this guy comes in, that's been living like the devil. Walks out the door, ain't been saved but a week, and talks about how somebody gave him a car because he just needed it. I done had the same car for 12 years.
Oh, I've done it.
God, I left everything I had, left Las Vegas and left the military because you said I was going to start a church. And I see 20-something year olds and 25 year olds and they starting churches and there's 1,000 people in there. I'm still working at the post office and cleaning the toilet at my church.
But then the father says to the son, son, everything I have is yours. Except that your brother, he was dead and now he's alive again. He's come home. In other words, there were so many fatted calves, you didn't know what to do with them. Nobody stopped you from saying, hey, dad, brought a couple of the fellas over, going to grab a couple of the fatted calves and kill them and eat. All right, son, you my son. It's all good. Love you. Thanks, dad. Love you too. No, you just sat there thinking, if I work hard enough, I'll earn my daddy's love and blessing. I ain't got to earn jack because Jesus earned it for me. So now all I got to do is live in it, walk in it, enjoy it, and stop talking about how I ain't worthy. He made me worthy.
I'm trying to shut up, praise the Lord. Been talking to the men about being justified by faith. You watch that Casey Anthony, young lady that got out of jail today, and everybody's flipping out. Casey Anthony out of jail, they don't know where she went. She got on the plane, they trying to hide her way, so on and so forth. And the bottom line is, we learned something about our judicial system. Whether you think she's guilty or innocent, the bottom line is she was acquitted. And since she was acquitted, she's free of all charges, whether she did it or not. What I like about us is when the Bible says we justified by faith, that word means that we have been acquitted. The verdict is in. We're not guilty. But you know, the thing is, we definitely did all the stuff we did. We definitely deserve to go to hell. We definitely should have been the ones to die on the cross. We did it. We did it. We did it. But Jesus came and took the sentence, the condemnation and the penalty. And so they swung open the prison door at death row. And God said, you can go free. You can go free. You've been acquitted. So stop feeling guilty and start feeling love.
God can't love me after all I did.
He loved you before you ever did all you did. Isn't that amazing? Before we were a proverbial twinkle in our daddy's eye, and before he was a twinkle in his daddy's eye, and so on, God already saw you. My wife had this incredible vision years ago where she's reading Ezekiel and it was talking about the children of Israel and God talking about how they were born and he saw them kicking in their blood and they were abandoned and so on and so forth. And I came and I covered you. I love you and all these things. And then she said she had this vision of God the Father and God the Son and it's these clouds everywhere. And God the Father parts the clouds and he says to the son, there's going to be a girl born in that house. She's going to go through hell. Dang. She's one of the reasons I'm sending you. She is. Bow your head.
Is there anybody in here that you don't know if you're saved? You're not sure of that. You don't know if you've ever really accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and some of you may know for sure that you never have. There's only one question, and that is, what do you believe? Do you believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins and rose on the third day? If you believe that, you're one prayer away from an eternal change right here, right now. A prayer simply asking Jesus to forgive you of all your sins and become the Lord and Savior of your life. And it's done. You immediately become not guilty. You immediately become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You are immediately a child of God. You can call Him Daddy. It's nothing that you got to do. It's not you trying to get yourself together. It's you simply asking, what do I believe? The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Not a week from now, not months from now, not once I go to college, not one. Right here, right now, He's here and He wants to know, do you want me? If you do, I'm here. Is there anybody who wants to receive Christ as your Lord and your Savior? Lift your hand. Be one prayer away from knowing for sure that Jesus is my Savior. Anybody. We're going to pray now, and I'm going to pray for those who are in the far country now. I know you've been going through hell and you've been beat up and beat down. Disappointed. Hope deferred makes the heart sick. But God is good. You tasted and seen that He was good when you used to seek Him. We're going to pray for your appetite to develop again for Him. Father, I pray for all of the prodigal sons and daughters, the lost sons and daughters that our hearts are in a far country. I pray for them now in the name of Jesus. And we ask, Lord, that You would do a deep healing work in the lives of Your people. Asking God that You will roll away the reproach of the last season, that refreshing will come to them. I pray You begin to stir an appetite in them once again for the things of the kingdom of God, for Your word, for praise, for worship, for Your destiny, Your purpose. I pray, Father God, that they will wake in the morning and have thoughts of You that they haven't had in You. Bring them back to the place of fellowship and communion with You. A place of transformation to even a greater weight of glory. The glory that is within You. I pray, Father, that we receive testimonies of people who have new revelation and experiencing You as Father in a new way. Lord, Jesus, You said in Your word that the Father draws people to the Son, but the Son reveals the Father to whomever He pleases. I pray that it please You to reveal the Father to everyone under the sound of my voice. New and fresh and exciting revelation of God as their Dad. I pray for massive change and transformation coming to the lives of Your people. Healing psychologically, healing emotionally, healing physically. Bring healing. And bring water, the living water, to our thirsty people. We pray now over the offering.